Cast. Today we got a special guest with us, Nate Hewitt, Evil Nate, as they call him. You know, he's going to be joining us for the show. We're going to ask him some questions, you know, just see what he thinks. He brought some bubbles to the show. He said there's nothing scarier than bubbles.
Yeah, man.
I just want to go ahead and give a shout out to the McGuire Insurance Agency real quick. It's one of our sponsors. Just want to give them a shout out. Also, shout out Prestonburg Pigment Folk and High Tech. I'm doing that kind of quick because we don't have much time. We're just using this Zoom. So I just want to go ahead and get into, like, start some questions here. And I'm just going to start with the simple ones, man. Tell everybody who you are, where you're from, how old you are, all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, formerly Nate Cross. I'm now Evil Nate. Nate Hewitt. If you can't tell by this this accent, I am from Eastern Kentucky, deep in the mountains, Pikeville. That's where I was born at anyway, you know, hung around down the Harold area, Floyd County, all that. It's all the same, though. 29, closing in, you know, closing in on 30 this year. And I just get ready after a three-year hiatus, a little bit, give or take a little bit. And after all this COVID-19 zombie apocalypse stuff, I'll be returning to the ring. So,
good deal. Like we were all talking, we can't wait to see you, you know, debut the ring with this new gimmick.
Yeah, love it.
So sweet. We're kind of like disappointed that you know the COVID has kind of stopped you from, you know, you were supposed to debut already, so, and it stopped.
Yeah. The beginning of this month, but the way I look at it is everything, it happens for a reason. So, this gives me more time. Yeah, it does. And this gives me more time. I've just been prepping and training at the house, doing these house workouts. So I dropped like 10 pounds of fat since this whole quarantine COVID thing has started. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm good with that.
Cool. So I'm just going to go ahead and ask you, you know, what got you into wrestling? You know, how old were you? Really just started loving it. And what another question add on to that, you know, when did you figure out that you wanted to do it as a profession?
I was a kid in the 90s, you know, like not a teen but a kid, you know. So 1997, I'm 7 years old. 98, I'm 8, you know. I'm kind of going with the years. So at first I'm a huge Spider-Man mark as a little boy. Love Spider-Man, love Power Rangers. Flipping through the channels one night, I come across Stone Cold Steve Austin. And there's just something about Stone Cold. You see him, he doesn't have to say a word. His body language, his presence, his aura, they don't make him like that anymore. So I'm watching this real-life superhero. He's coming down to the ring. He's, you know, kicking some booty left and right. And I'm like, what is this? So I'm an 8-year-old kid, and I just see that and I fall in love, man. And I just, then you bring on people like, you know, he's, for me, he's the greatest. Like, he's the end all be all. And he's just, he's the equivalent. He's a superstar. That's what he is. So seeing him and then getting introduced to characters like The Rock, getting introduced to characters like Undertaker and Kane. So growing up during that, and I was a straight up WWF fan, and I didn't come to appreciate like WCW and ECW until later on. Like when I got in my early teens and stuff like that, and I started like getting smart to everything. So just growing up at the Monday Night Wars and being a Monday Night Raw fan, that's what got me into wrestling. So, and I always loved it. I was always obsessed with it. T-shirts, posters, video games, toys. I kind of like started drawing all my attention toward rock and roll and music because I always wanted to be a rock star. I always wanted to be a musician. I mean, who doesn't? You know, who doesn't grow up listening to Ozzy Osbourne, Alice Cooper, Black Sabbath? Like, that's my stuff, you know? And I started doing that. I learned how to play music. Some of my friends taught me. I couldn't keep people in a band, you know? And like, because a band is like a, you know, it's a moving organism, and you got to have, you know, 3 to 4 members, if not more, maybe less, whatever. Everybody's got to be committed. And I understand, you know, it's hard. It can be difficult. You got other things you got to do. So after 3 to 4 different failed attempts at playing in bands, I said, well, okay. And then I got turned on to a local organization, and I got hooked up with them, and I started training. And, you know, I spent my first couple years there, and I was like, all right, here we go. And even though at that time, the way I was trained and the way I was broke into the business by, you know, by this organization and stuff, it wasn't accurate. It wasn't proper or anything like that. However, though, it was a learning experience, and it, you know, it taught me a lot of stuff. So that's pretty much how I ended up boom, 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 you know, getting into wrestling. So.
Well, I noticed, you know, I've been following you for a couple of years now. Probably about 8 years, you know, when you're doing Nate Cross stuff and you start doing your promos and putting them on YouTube and everything. And you know, that's one thing I would say, that your promos, like, they are top notch, I think. Like, you never miss a promo. Like, I always enjoy them. So it's one thing I
do too.
Great promo, really drawn me towards you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I didn't even know that I had the ability to cut promos or anything until like 2.5 years into the business. And when I finally started branching off away from the organization I began with, and I started going down to an organization in Lawrenceburg, I never had a gimmick or anything like that. The only thing I ever came up with, I was this little baby face, the modern day miracle. I come out my little trash bag pants and my cut off t-shirt and, you know, clapping hands, slapping babies, whatever you say. And I didn't have any direction. I didn't understand psychology. I didn't understand why you do moves. It's not about the moves you do, but it's why you do them. And then after you do those moves, what nuances you make after you do those moves. And I had never had any direction. And when I went to this company in Lawrenceburg, the booker down there, I ran as a face for the first couple of shows. And then he came to me and he said, Nate, I want you to start. I want you to be a heel, and I want you to, you know, start portraying this rock star gimmick. And I was like, all right, I've always wanted to be a rock star, so I get to be a wrestler and a rock star. Okay, sure. There's been a million rock stars that came before me, that came during me, and they came after me, and it's okay. And because during that time, three-man band literally started up right after I started, or right as I was starting to do this. So I was like, okay, there's been guitar players come out to the ring. I'm going to do the mic stand. I'm going to steal from Kiss. Instead of the hottest band in the land, I'm going to be the hottest frontman in the land. And then this is a time before, so social media is starting to like really become what it is now. And I was like, man, I wasn't getting put on flyers or anything like that. And I was like, okay, you don't want to put me on flyers, I will start cutting promos and I'll start posting them. So there's an independent wrestler named Chance Prophet, and I had seen Chance Prophet's promos, and Chance has been in the business for a very long time. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I'm going to do what he's doing. I'm going to post promos to YouTube. So that's what I started doing. And then I started to figure out I could talk. Now, the real kicker was, in the beginning, my promos were just kind of bland, and it was kind of like this right here. It was like, you know, tripod, and I'm like, baby, and I'm, you know, running my mouth.
I love that.
So, yeah, thanks, I appreciate it. I stole that from Chris Jericho and the band The Cult, Love Removal Machine. In the second verse, he goes, baby, baby, baby. So I stole that from that. But in the beginning, my promos were like this. And then my friend, my business partner, Paige, she goes by Dahlia. She was an actress, and she had been treated wrong by this company also. And she had kind of like she didn't get to dabble in the business of wrestling or anything. So me and her were hanging out, we're talking and stuff, you know. And the first time I'm gonna do a little side note real quick. Like, the first time I ever saw her, she walks in this room, and like, I'm in the ring training with all these guys, and everybody's sitting in the audience. And when she walks in, you know, she's got the boobs kind of like hanging out. She's got the big butt bouncing and things like that. So everybody there, they're just looking. I'm talking, like, saying some vulgarities that I'm not going to repeat right here. And like, my jaw dropped too. And I was like, that girl's not from here. I know better. I've never seen anybody like this before. So she got done wrong and stuff. But I'd always kept in my mind, I was like, man, if that girl, because that's what you look for in wrestling. You look for the it. And I was like, if that girl enters a room and everybody's looking at her, I need that girl beside of me when I go out to the ring. Because if I got that girl beside of me, all eyes, if they're not on me, they're right beside of me. So, you know, somebody's got to see a glimpse of me or something when they're checking her out. So her and I, we start to get this friendship and stuff. We start talking, you know, and I start to, before she starts to get involved and stuff, she starts helping me with my promos. So it went from just being on the tripod at a certain angle, running my mouth, to, okay, let's go film you naked in the bathtub. Let's go film you. I get all these people at the college to say, I believe in Nate Cross. Those were her ideals. And like, she's filming me like getting stuck in the snow and I'm falling and stuff. That was her ideal. So she added so much to, I can run my mouth easy because I grew up on Stone Cold, The Rock, Triple H, guys that know how to talk. And that's something that that's missing enormously, if that's even a word. I'm starting to, you know, it's something that's just something that's missing today. Like that character. So I can do that because I grew up on that. You know, I got bullied as a kid because I was really fat. So I had to start thinking of comebacks. So I, you know, start thinking of The Rock and this and that. Run my mouth all day, all night. I talk in my sleep. I never shut up, as you can't tell right now. I've been talking for, you know, ever. So I can do that. But she comes along and starts giving me these ideals from, you know, the bathtub stuff, the snow stuff. And she starts adding it. And that's when my promos started to, like, really grab attention. And that's why I give a lot of my credit, like, to her. And, like, a lot of people don't get that. They don't understand it because they didn't see her. It was always me in front of the camera. And I didn't realize that she was back there. She was directing it. She's out 3 a.m. in the morning helping me do these things, you know? So, yeah. So that's kind of, you know, sorry to be so long-winded, but that's, I guess, like, my whole thing with promos is I know what I like to see. And so I try to do that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I'm going to let these guys see if they got any questions they want to ask you.
Yeah. All right. I just want to say, hey, Nate, thank you for coming on. You know, I've talked to you.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Hey, me personally, I want to know, I know you were supposed to debut, you know, I think it was last week or the week before. I hated that didn't get to happen. Love the new gimmick, everything you've been doing. We've been following you and everything. I was wondering what promotion you were going in at the time. Yeah. Who you were, you know.
So – I was just keeping that on a secret. Like, I was keeping that on a lowdown. What I can say and what I will say, it is a company, an organization. They're pretty good. I mean, they're actually very good. And they have a lot of talented people. They do really good storylines, and they just have a phenomenal crew. They are in they're in the tri-state area. And when the time comes, like, and it's coming like really soon. You're like, I don't mean to dodge your question or anything, but there's just some logistics I got to get.
Yeah.
Got to get laid over here. Yeah. So I don't mean to dodge the question, but it's kind of like, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
But,
I got you.
All right, cool.
You
know,
now, we've all been looking, you know, I think you cut three good promos leading up to it. We were just hoping to see it. And I know you're up, your new ring attire looks amazing.
We've spent a lot of money on that. I've spent I think at this point I've spent about $200 to $2,500 on everything, and I still got more stuff coming right now because I've got all these ideals and stuff. And I appreciate you complimenting me on the promos. Paige and I, we had sat down and we had come up, and you know, she was like, "Hey, you know, you're doing this urban legend thing. Why don't you, you know, you run into Mothman, you run into an alien."
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. Like, she was like, "Hey, you know, you're going with this urban legend thing. Why don't you, you know, why don't we play off that?" So her and I, we came up, you know, just like we always do, and she's just, you know, throwing things at me, and I'm grabbing them. Like, that's a great idea. And so there's more. There's a few more I got that's going to lead up to the debut, and then when I debut, it'll be some things, and then when she debuts as a wrestler, we got some really good stuff planned for her too. And we got a lot of stuff actually planned for this year. So
awesome, man. That's great. You know, I know you've trained, you know, quite a different places. I know you were down in Texas at one point and in California. Yep. Who all did you train with? Cause I can't.
So I've had officially, I'll say three trainers officially. Because like I mentioned earlier, when I was running my mouth, when I broke into the business, I wasn't really taught the accurate way. It was like, "Hey kid, here's how to bump, blah, blah, blah." And even my bumping wasn't accurate because there's a certain way especially when you watch like the Samoans, watch how they bump. And Kurt Angle too. Kurt Angle's a prime example. And even Lesnar, especially back in Lesnar's younger days, when they bump and they're attacking that mat, that's how you bump. It's like, because it saves your body and like all that impact on your arms. So I didn't really even learn how to accurately bump until I went out to LA. But anyway, I digress. After I did everything there locally back home, and then I went to Lawrenceburg. Going down to Lawrenceburg, there's everything kind of fell into place for me, really. There was, at the time, OVW was a TNA developmental territory. They pretty much were doing what WWE used to do. And there's a local independent wrestler there named Joey Palumbo. Joey Palumbo, he's from, I think he started in the 90s, and like he's been around. Yeah. You know.
Yep.
And Joey got with me and a couple other guys, and he said, hey, I got a really good opportunity for you. You can come down to OVW and Rip Rogers' class. And I was like, oh my God, really? The OVW, I'm getting invited to come down. And so I started going down there. Now, I was only down there for a cup of coffee, half a cup of coffee. It was the end of 2012, the beginning of 2013. But the little amount of time that I was down there, I had guys like Rob Terry from TNA. He was in my class. And I don't know if you remember Jesse Godders from TNA. He was in my class also. And there was actually a lot of really great talent in my class. But what I learned the most down there from Rip Rogers, now Rip has trained all these guys that came through that, you know, from that whole John Cena and all that era, all the way up to the Punk era and all that stuff. Rip's had his hands on like everybody. And you go back and you watch Rip's stuff, like he, you know, doing all the stuff with Adrian Street, doing stuff with Randy Savage. He's, you know, been all over. And he's a staple. And the guy is just, he's a genius. He taught me psychology. That's what I learned the most from there. So then, after I spent a lot of time down there, or not a lot of time, but a minute down there, I ended up shattering my clavicle in 2013 because I'm an idiot and I took the move the wrong way. Spent a lot of time out, got really fat, you know, it was really great time. And after that, I messed around local indies there in Kentucky, a little bit in Indiana. And then there was some things going on back in 2015 when I was last time I was back home. And there were some things going on that caused me to be homeless to where, for the first time, to where I was sleeping out of the car. Now, it was me and Dahlia Page. And eventually, we just got to the point to where I wasn't having help from anyone, per se. And it got to the point to where we decided to leave. So when we left, her family was down in Texas because her mom does a lot of traveling. So I love Texas. I'm a Texas Chainsaw Massacre Mark. I'm a Stone Cold Mark, so what do those guys have in common? They're in Texas, so let's go to Texas. Yeah, so we go down there, and Paige got me hooked up with this company based out of San Antone. They're called River City Wrestling, RCW. Now, RCW, they were affiliated with Sean Hernandez from TNA at the time. And Hernandez was down there, and they had a pretty big crew, and Hernandez took a liking to both Paige and I. And the only reason I got on down at RCW was because of her, because that's a little trick. If you're an ugly guy, but if you got like a hot girl or something like that, they'll book you. They'll book you because they want the girl. They want the girl. They'll book you. So she got me on down there, and we start working, and we find out that Funaki, he's got a dojo down in San Antonio because Funaki lives down there. And I was like, are you serious? All right, cool. So we became friendly with some of the people that were on the roster at RCW. And then we got hooked up going to Funaki. So we spent some months down there training. Funaki was great. We would go 5-6 days a week to class. Paige and I, we were working third shift. And we'd get off work. We'd go straight to the gym, spend about 1.5-2 hours at the gym. When we'd finish there, we'd drive straight over to class, and we'd wrestle for about 2 hours, anywhere from 1 hour to 2 hours, depending on Funaki's schedule. And down there, he was teaching us the way they train people down at NXT. So we're doing all the roles, and the big thing I take away from Funaki is I had these bad indie habits that I still had. He taught me how to like lock up, you know, properly. Don't look like a robot. Let it look natural, but let it look, you know, legit. Snap that thing in there. That's a big thing I took from him because I was locking up like a robot. So Paige and I, we trained down there, and when we finished down there, she ended up like breaking her ribs down there. So long story short, we had to leave from down there because we had to come back up here to Ohio, like with her family and stuff, let her heal her ribs. And when I left down there, they had put the RCW International strap on me down there, which I kind of compare it to like the Intercontinental title. I might be wrong. I felt like it was a second tier title. And they had some plans for me. They let me work with guys. So it was kind of a double learning experience. I'm training with Funaki, but once a month, I'm just working for one company. And because I wasn't worried about getting bookings. That's a misconception some people have. Like, I wasn't too worried about getting bookings. I'm worried about bettering myself and trying to become better. So when we were down there and I got to work at RCW, they put me in the ring with guys like the Powers of Pain, Barbarian and Warlord. They put me in there with Coco Beware, and they put me in there with Tatanka. Yeah. Great learning experiences. And had I stayed, they had other things, you know, planned for me. I was going to get to work with Hernandez. There was, you know, things spoken about the heavyweight title, just things like that. And which, you know, titles, I don't care about that. For me, it's all about telling the story, and it's all about, you know, the drama in the ring. You know, that's all that matters. It's not about titles. It's a story you tell in the ring and what you do. It's all about the money and the muscle, like they say. That's all that matters. So we do that, and then during that time, WrestleMania 32 was going on in Dallas. So we found out that Rikishi had this thing called Territory League. So we drive up, we use all of our rent money to drive up to Dallas, and her and I, we go do Territory League for Rikishi, and then we helped set up and stuff. You had guys like Jacob Fatu, he was there, and he works on MLW. Phenomenal. I mean, dude.
Oh, he's awesome.
Watching him in person, I told him and Rikishi and everybody else involved in the match, I said that was like watching a Monday Night Raw main event because it was flawless. It was perfect. Yeah. And so I got to be around some guys like that. And then we found out Keish, he had a school. So at this point, Paige and I, we were talking about the Monster Factory in Paulsboro, New Jersey. And we were like, okay, so we got two choices here, Monster Factory or Keish's school. We're going to figure this out. So when we end up moving back, she's healing her rib and things like that. Now, during this time, we're deciding which school to go to. I work a little bit at IWA Mid-South. And, when we rolled into IWA Mid-South, we told Ian Rotten, and then we were like, hey, listen, we're only going to be here for a minute. We're not planning to stay long. So, you know, we'll work a little bit. And then that's what we did. We worked like 3 or 4 shows, and then we left because we were deciding what school to go to. So we flew out to L.A. We checked out Keisha's school. It was really good. And then we went and did a Monster Factory Super Camp. And when we did the Super Camp up there, there was guys like Damian Priest. He was there. This is before he got signed. QT Marshall, he was there. He was coming back from an injury or something. Trying to think who else was there. Bull James, I think he had just been released. He was there. And there was all this talent there. And it was Monster Factory is a phenomenal experience. So – Paige and I, Dahlia, we started weighing it out. Where are we going? Knox, Rikishi, or Monster Factory? In the end, we decided to go out to L.A., and we went out there, and we slept out of our car, and we worked, went to the gym, and we trained. And that's what we did. And we did that for 7 months. And then Dahlia, Paige, she tore the ligaments in both of her feet one day in class. Both feet, not one. And it's called the plantar fasciitis. She ripped them, you know, completely apart, and there was no repairing that. She didn't know it. She kept going. She kept working. She kept going in class. She kept falling down until Rikishi was like, listen, you're hurt. You need to sit down. And, you know, she never quit. She never gave up out there. And eventually we had to leave, you know, because we had to come back out here because we were sleeping out of our car, you know. So we had to leave them out there and come here to where she could, you know, be, you know, go to doctors and we could have a roof over our head. So, but training, so another long story short, Rip Rogers, you know, I learned a lot of psychology there for the little amount of time I was there. Funaki, I learned how to lock up the proper way. And then out at Rikishi school, I learned how to bump. And those are like the things that I picked from all three of those schools that have really helped me. So I don't mean to be so long winded. I just, you know,
oh, that's
like
fine, man. That's what we want. We want the story.
No, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Yep. So it's pretty, you know, it's pretty cool that all that's led to, you know, to this moment now, and you know, you're not far from making your next debut, you know, as a new gimmick. Yeah. What made you change the gimmick up?
I guess what made me change the gimmick up is I had done the Rock and Roll Revolution for so long. I started it in 2012, ran it all the way to the end of 2016. And I am a huge Texas Chainsaw Massacre mark. I'm just a huge fan. I love all of the movies, except for the last one they did. It was really bad. I love all the movies, including the part four with Matthew McConaughey, where Leatherface dresses up like a woman. I love that one. That one is awesome. It's so low budget, but it's so good. But anyway, I'm a huge Next Generation. That's it. I love that movie. Yep. I love Leatherface and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. One thing I kept noticing, too, is everywhere I went across America, my accent sticks out like a sore thumb. Now, granted, I don't sound like Boomhauer. I don't sound like, the guys from Deliverance. But my accent sticks out when you drop me off in the center of Los Angeles, California. I stick out. And everybody, they let you know that you stick out. And especially when I'm with Paige, who has this northern accent, and you know she's not from Kentucky by the way she talks and carries herself, and then you hear me and you're like, whoa, what's going on here? So you take, I'm a big Leatherface Texas Chainsaw Massacre mark. There's been a million hillbilly gimmicks done, like good, bad, there's been a million done. I remember as a kid seeing Terry Funk portray Chainsaw Charlie, and I thought that was crazy. I was like, that's awesome, the dude's coming out with a chainsaw, this is cool. And then I come on to find out later on, he got the idea from Corporal Kirstner, who played the first Leatherface wrestler in Japan. So now I'm not a big fan of death matches or anything like that. I got nothing against them. It's just not my forte. You like them, you like them. That's cool. But I love his entrance when he come to the ring, that saw, man, he clear house. And everybody, they're running through the hills. So I love that. I love the movie Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm a hillbilly. Okay, so instead of portraying this rock star from Detroit Rock City that's clearly not from Detroit, why not do something that is kind of a combination of, we'll sprinkle a little bit of Leatherface the movie, a little bit of Leatherface the wrestler, a little taste of Ed Gein over here, and then we'll drop some actual hillbillyism in all of this and kind of like stir that up and, you know, get something new. And then also, I love cryptozoology and urban legends, so let's throw some of that in there just for the fun of it. So I take all that, and this is something that I did my last match ever as Nate Cross out in L.A. And after we did it right after we got out there. And I told them, I said, hey, I'm not worried about, Paige and I are not worried about working any shows. We want to focus on training. That's all we want to focus on. We're not worried about getting booked. We're not worried about doing shows. We want to train. And that's what we did. So after that, I remember I was like, man, I like doing the rock star thing and stuff, but I've always really wanted to do something like, you know, the Leatherface thing. And we talked about it with Rikishi out there, and then Paige and I, we talked about it so much since like 2012, really, because when Texas Chainsaw 3D had come out, her and I, we filmed this little fan film where I dressed up like Leatherface. I got it up on my old YouTube channel. You can find it. And I dress up like Leatherface, and I'm like throwing a saw around, and I pull the mask off, and I'm like, oh, Nate Cross, baby. When I did that back then, her and I just looked at each other after we got done filming, and I was like, God, man, it'd be fun to kind of like mix that and do a Leatherface gimmick, you know, do a Texas Chainsaw. So without doing a Leatherface gimmick and going through all this stuff, this is where I came up with the Killbilly stuff. Like, we discussed it out in L.A. We discussed it before that. We talked about it with Rikishi. We talked about it even with some of the students out there. And it's like, you know, they even talked to Paige about changing her gimmick. Like, hey, you need to be like a Native American. And she's like, oh, man, I'm not even full-blooded. What are you talking about? And so we went over all these things. And after all this downtime, and we started the progress of it out there, and then it's just led to, okay, so this is what I want to do. I think I can do this. And, of course, you know, there are aspects of me you can relate back to Texas Chainsaw Massacre or Leatherface the Wrestler. That's fine. It's a distant relative. It's no different than me playing the hottest frontman in the land. And guess what? There's Heath Slater saying Bebe on TV. There's Adam Cole saying Bebe on NXT. There's Chris Jericho saying Bebe back in 1999. It's okay, because even before I ever wielded a chainsaw, there are other guys that have wielded a chainsaw, and there'll probably be other guys that wield one after me. It's no different than Superstar Billy Graham came. After Superstar, there was Jesse the Body Ventura. After Jesse the Body Ventura, there was Hulk Hogan. After Hulk Hogan, there was Macho Man Randy Savage. And then after Randy Savage, there was a big bad booty daddy, Scott Steiner. That in this business, nothing is really original, but you take it and you make it your own.
Yep.
And there's nothing wrong with that. When I was doing the rock star thing, I reached out to other rock stars. Let's work a program. Let's team up. Because that's how you make money. That's how you do it. So, but that's kind of like the origins of the whole, why am I doing a chainsaw thing now? It's something I've talked about since 12, and it's something I've, you know, discussed out in L.A. It's something I started when Dahlia got hurt out there. So,
5 minutes, guys.
Well, 5 minutes. But I just want to say, you know, I love how you're using the last couple of promos. You've used them to, like, kind of transition from Nate Cross to Nate Hewitt. And it's been gold, man, how you've done that, you know. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We put a lot of, like I said, we put a lot of time and money into it, and we want to entertain and have fun with it. Yeah. You know, I don't take myself too seriously. Like, contrary to popular belief, I don't think my crap, you know, doesn't stink, because it does, you know. So,
yeah. What do you think? You got anything, Jason? Go ahead.
I just, like, once again, like, thank you for coming on with us. I know we got about 4 minutes and 20 seconds left.
Yeah.
But, you know, I appreciate you coming on. Appreciate everything you know, from the promos and stuff we watched. We would love to get to see you in action in person. You know, your matches on YouTube and everything.
Great.
I love where you're going with this gimmick. I've told you a few times when I met you, you know, your new ring attire is
awesome. It's awesome.
But, you know, other things, like, I know you're wearing your shirt right now. I just want to, you know, let people know to get out. Pro Wrestling Tees, and get this. There's, thanks, I think, three or four other designs on there that I saw. You know,
support your role, your independent wrestlers.
You know, support people. And I actually would love to get you to come back on again one time. I know we can get you.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get you back on. We can talk whatever. You know, you can get on. You know,
I'd love that. We can talk. We can talk current product. You know, wrestling. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I know we want to get Paige on for sure. You know.
Yeah.
We talked about getting her on.
Yeah. Definitely. So. We'll get Talia on. And, you know, I just like I said, just once again, like, thank you for coming on. I know we're trying to support everybody. I know you're from Fisher, Kentucky. We all are. I think my accent deeper than yours.
It's fine.
But other than that, just, you know, I just hope everything works out for you and you get a, you know, debut this new gimmick you've been working on for all these years. I know we were talking about it, all the money and time and training and everything you put towards this for, you know, what's going on right now. It's kind of put a little, you know, roadblock in it, but, you know, all in all, it's going to happen. You're going to get out there. You're going to show everybody what you've got. You know, I've got people commenting right now. They love your promos. I mean, I've got
stuff
right now I brought up. Everybody love your promos. Love them.
Thanks. You know, I appreciate that.
Can't wait to get you, you know, back out into the ring and everything. So, but, you know, other than that, I'll turn it over to Jason and see if he has anything.
I just want to say thank you, Nate. Truly appreciate you coming on, and I love your promos, man. I'm a mark for Nate. I love.
Hey, I appreciate that.
Mark for Nate. I hope.
Mark for Nate, for real. I love the promos. Top notch.
Thank you.
How much time you got left, Kevin?
Everything works out, and it does give me, bro.
Got a minute 50.
All right, Nate. You want to say anything else, man?
Oh, let's see. I appreciate you guys. I'm looking forward to it. I guess I can try to cut one last Nate Cross promo before we go.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Oh, let's see.
Yes.
Baby! Yeah! You one of the best. You got the best. The hottest front man in the land. The modern day miracle. The rock and roll revolution. And see, what you got to find out is that rock and roll, it ain't noise pollution. I'm not the question, I'm the solution. I'm the rock and roll revolution. I'm the not so typical. I ain't never been hypocritical because I'm so far from fictional. They call me the modern day miracle. And this long hair is going to be hanging. These fists are going to be swinging like this voice is going to be singing. And all night long, my pelvis is banging. Yeah, there's not but two things you can do about that. Nothing, and deal with it.
God, it's gold, man. It's awesome. That's the last promo we'll ever get a Nate Cross right here on the
it
Strong
is.
Booking.
You got done a Strong Booking.
Yeah, that's right.
Just for you guys, man. I appreciate,
appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Nate. Appreciate it.
Hey, I'd love to come back. Thank you, guys.
We're going to definitely have you back.
Yeah, we're definitely. We'll get back with you for sure.
Right. Yes.
No,
yep.
Appreciate it.
All right.
All right, man. I guess.
It's up to you, Dougie.
I just want to thank our sponsors if we got any time left here. McGuire's Insurance Agency, Pittsburgh Pig and Poke, and High Tech Signs and Graphics. You know, we're going to keep going with this Zoom until we finally can get back on the live stream. I can't wait to get back live, actually.
All right. Well, folks, thank you for tuning in tonight. This has been Strong Booking, a production of Hat Media Services. Until next time, you've been booked.